Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22. Luke 2, verse 22. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed."
Well, hello to you all, and whenever and wherever you're watching this, I hope you've had an absolutely wonderful Christmas. I'd like us just to think about Simeon just for the next few minutes. Let me ask you a question. What kind of courage and clear vision does it take for you to be a Simeon, for you to have a goal and to say clearly and categorically, "I have achieved it, I have done it, it is done, I have achieved what I was put here for," to bring an end to that task and to do so with a certain amount of contentment. Having achieved what you've achieved, to be able to close the books on your life. What is it that will prevent you from bringing all of your expectations, all of your hopes, all of your dreams, all of your contentments into line with the greatest set of plans and purposes that you can possibly have for your life? And it seems to me right now, what with everything that's going on around us, all of the insecurities, all of the uncertainties, those decisions are what really are being asked of us. How can we make those decisions better by looking through Simeon's eyes? Let's see what we can see. If we look through Simeon's eyes, what can we see? Here are three things very quickly. What do we see through Simeon's eyes? What can we foresee through him? And finally, what does it all foreshadow? What can we see? What can we foresee? And what is being foreshadowed? What can we see? Well, we can see an eight-day-old baby being held in his parents' arms in the hubbub of the temple courts. That is what we can see. And everything that we're about to say about this eight-day-old baby is even more dramatic and even more wonderful as a result of this sparse detail. That is what we can see. What can we foresee? And I know that you're hoping that every question will be as short as that one. We're going to spend a little bit more time on it. What can we foresee? Well, through Simeon's eyes, he allows us to see God is working out a great rescue plan. This baby is it. That is, this baby is both the rescue and the rescuer. Now, we're given just a little bit of detail here. The detail that we're given is that humanity falls into two groups. On the one hand, we have the Gentiles, or the peoples of the world. And on the other, we have God's people, Israel. To the peoples of the world, this baby will be a light which reveals what truly is going on in the way that the world works. But to God's people, this baby will be their crowning glory. They will receive glory from this baby. The Gentiles, the peoples, the nations of the world will receive light. Now think about that for a moment. People who are in need of light people who receive light, and where that light is most effective, is when those people are living in the dark. People who receive glory are those who have been living with shame. So what can we foresee? We can foresee that for those who have experienced darkness, a light has dawned as a result of this baby. And those who have experienced shame and loss and cancellation and have been trodden down by this life, they will be raised up and seated on a throne. And all because of this baby. Well, I suppose if you think about that for any length of time, you would be amazed. As a result of this baby, the nations of the world will receive light to show them what truly is. As a result of this, this baby would be their crowning glory. That will be amazing. And Mary and Joseph were amazed at these words too. But then Simeon goes on and he says, look, this baby's life is foreshadowed. Let me show you something of his destiny, Simeon says. Let me show you what is to come. And his words now are full of meaning as dark rain clouds are full of the threat of rain. His words are full of this meaning. So what is being foreshadowed? What is being foreshadowed is how this great rescue is achieved by this baby. And the first piece of information we're given here is that he will be the falling and the rising of many. Now, falling is not just falling over and scraping your knee. That's not what's being said here. No, falling is ruin. It's utter destruction. Jesus is going on himself to use this word in a very famous story that he tells. I hope you know it. It's the story of the wise and foolish builders. Two people go out to build. One is wise and one foolish. And the foolish one builds on sand, on shaky ground. When the storm comes, that house, that construction is utterly wiped out. It's destroyed. It falls. That's the word there. It falls and is so utterly destroyed that no semblance of it ever being there is left behind. So Jesus will be the destruction of many, but he will also be the resurrection, the rising, literally Anastasia, the resurrection. Now, I hope that foreshadows something for you. Maybe a period of time, maybe a weekend in his life where you think that actually the idea, the concept of resurrection comes to the fore again. I hope you've got something in mind. The next thing Simeon says is that he is a sign that will be spoken against. In other words, Jesus, this baby, is going to be God's great big fat yes to humanity. He is going to be God saying, I love you, and humanity is going to issue a huge, resounding, and determined no. Can you think of a time then when humanity gathered together as one, and together they pronounced condemnation on Jesus? Together, the nations of the world and Israel got together and singularly condemned him. They did that, I'm sure you will remember, at his trial and when they nailed him to a cross. The Roman authorities got together with the Jewish authorities. The Roman authorities represented the peoples of the world at that time. And the sign on the cross said, this is the King of the Jews. And humanity nailed him up and said, this is what we do to kings we don't like. This is what we think of them. Jesus gets cancelled. And perhaps we could say that that's a story that reveals our hearts, doesn't it? We don't really like to have a king, and particularly a king that imposes himself from outside. And then Simeon says that Mary's own soul was pierced too, just as her son's heart was pierced. Again, you're being told of a foreshadowing. When's that foreshadowing? This whole weekend and the events of the Easter weekend are in view here. Just as Jesus's heart was pierced, so Mary's soul will be pierced. Mary's experience, of course, is a helpful contributor, especially to the foreshadowing of the cross, of Jesus's cross. She, out of all of us, will have to give him up. She will have to give Jesus up in a very particular, very unique way. She alone will know the wounds of a soul that is divided in that way. And she alone will be watching her Saviour Son save her. So to Simeon, all of this that he can see is a promise fulfilled. Now we're told at the start, did you notice, that he was waiting for the comforting or the consolation of Israel. The word there used for comfort or consolation is the word paraklesin. And he was sent into the temple by the Holy Spirit. Now sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as the parakletos, the comforter or the counselor or the consoler. In other words, for Simeon, his experience was that he was told by the comforter to wait to see the comfort, and he was led into the presence of the one through whom he would see that comfort arrive. For Simeon, this is a promise, and the promise had been made, and the promise had been underwritten, and the underwriter of that promise was God himself, God the Holy Spirit. For anybody that received cash as a gift yesterday, or whenever you're watching this Christmas, you received a promise, not from the person that gave you the cash. You received a promise from the Bank of England that wherever you presented that note, they would underwrite it with a certain value. Through Simeon's eyes, we see and foresee the promise that for anyone in this world who has known darkness and shame, for anyone living in this world of cancellation and grief, for anyone living with a sense of condemnation or anxiety, for anyone that has had their good plans or intentions met with the shocking no of evil, or indeed had your best ideas and your best plans undone by perhaps your own foolishness or your own pride or lying or deception, whatever it might be. If you've been caught in a situation beyond your control, it could be a classroom squabble or it could be family breakdown. For anyone that's struggled recently with health issues or poverty, or worry, or stress, or betrayal, or loneliness, this baby, this message through Simeon's eyes this morning is for you. This baby is both your rescue and your rescuer. Jesus, this baby, is the way that God will prevent any failure that you experience from becoming your ruin, from becoming your destruction. And he is the way where God will prevent any success of yours from becoming your glory, from becoming your idol. So would you look at Jesus again, but through Simeon's eyes? There's no point in looking at Jesus just through our own eyes. We can't see him. None of us living, listening to this message, has actually seen the physical Jesus in that form. But we look at him through Simeon's eyes. As a result of the last couple of years, it may be that it feels to you or it seems to you like your life has kind of lurched sideways. None of us are where we expect to be. Medical issues, like, for example, being overweight, suddenly carry a much more sinister side. We went from regular work, commuting, to working from home, to being furloughed, from back to working at home again, and we discovered whether our job was of key value or not. Suddenly, people have stopped visiting. We've been asked to be afraid of the invisible. We've been asked to care for people from a distance. We've been asked to make personal decisions on the basis of protecting certain institutions. Financially, we feel extra vulnerable. Socially, we feel extra vulnerable. Psychologically, we feel extra vulnerable. Friendships have been strained. And if you've noted changes at church, recently the Evangelical Alliance has announced that as a result of returning from lockdown, you know, 32% of regular weekly attendees at church just simply haven't come back. And 24% of churches that provided youth work before lockdown have not restarted that work. So anything now that will restart is going to be a completely new beginning. All of that reputational stuff from before will have gone. It's too long ago. It's difficult to hear that, isn't it? To know that fully one third of our churches have simply stopped attending, or that one quarter of our youth ministry has just shut up shop. We cannot possibly know what their reasons or their excuses are, and some they will be reasons and some they will be excuses. What we do know is that for them, the commitment has changed. But that's true for us all, isn't it? Individually, We know that that's what happens when we face darkness or we face shame, that our commitment changes. We are being asked to rethink what we trust in. We are being challenged to review that, even for ourselves. So let's look again through Simeon's eyes. He sees Mary and Joseph, whose ears are still ringing themselves with the shepherds' wonder and awe and singing. Do you remember? It's only a few days ago, a few nights ago, that the shepherds popped in and said hello to Jesus. And they're astonished at what gift of responsibility they have been given. And he sees in their arms a baby who fulfills his hopes and dreams for all God's people. Here is the comfort and the comforter lying asleep in his arms in the hubbub of that temple court. Here is the fulfillment of God's promise given by God himself, underwritten by God himself. And therefore, for Simeon, this is his moment to depart. He can now be dismissed because he has been fulfilled, because his eyes have seen all that God will do. So maybe you're one of those wanderers whose attendance has slipped. Maybe like me, your commitment has been challenged, or perhaps you're one of the people that has discovered church for the first time in lockdown. You've seen your children drift away. You've seen them perhaps hang in there by a thread. Their commitment has changed too, been challenged certainly. Just a word to young people in this moment. It's difficult, I know, for you too. You're growing up into a world where there seems to have been perhaps more opportunity than ever before for you to do you. And the best advice perhaps you can come across it, I came across this in the new Spider-Man No Way Home movie, in the voice of MJ in the Spider-Man movie. She says several times, expect disappointment, that way you'll never be disappointed. In other words, you're kind of living your life not necessarily aiming to win, but as long as you don't lose. You're living with a kind of a deliberately lowered set of expectations. You see disappointment and frustration as inevitable, and so you set out simply to avoid that. If Simeon could lend you his eyes, then he would ask you to lay down this quest for low expectations and receive the promise of this baby. He's a promise. He's a promise to you that your failure will not lead to ruin and that your success will not need to be your glory or your idol. So for us all, in this quiet holiday moment when the stressings and strivings are temporarily suspended, as you see Jesus through Simeon's eyes, I urge you, Simeon urges you, to bring each and every hope for your life, every expectation, every desire, every longing, every dream, every disappointment, every frustration, every failure to him and say this: would that I now see Jesus as God's rescue and his rescuer. I could close my eyes and depart in peace. I know he will bring light to my dark world and he will bring glory in place of my shame. I know that as he dies, he achieves this for me. But if I were to receive this promise to me today, that would be enough. And if my whole life from here were to be success upon success, I would still have no more. I could have no more than what I hold today. I cannot change the past, nor can I predict the future, but I can enter 2022 with my heart revealed, with the hope of resurrection and not ruin, and saying a resounding yes to the sign of God's Son. I wish you all a very happy Christmas, a wonderful new year, and a contentment that allows you to close your eyes in rest. Amen.